Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include active inventory, my interview with Black Knights, Conrad Ficca, and Richard Lombardi on climate risk and how lenders can mitigate its impact through data. And speaking of data, let's talk about the Fed's data dependency. Thanks to this week's podcast sponsor, Black Knight. During today's podcast, we'll be speaking with a couple folks from the company's data and analytics division, which provides high-quality, comprehensive, and nationwide property and mortgage data, as well as market-leading analytics. Black Knight's data and analytics solutions help lenders mitigate risk and generate more leads and reduce costs. As a result, lenders across the U.S. trust Black Knight's data and analytics to help them be more competitive and grow their business. The National Association of Realtors' total membership in July 2023 is 1.56 million. There are about 547,000 active listings. That's one listing per three NAR members, which doesn't even include non-National Association of Realtor real estate agents. Analysts continue to point to the nationwide housing market struggling with low inventory levels and decreased affordability. While active inventory through the first 6 months of 2023 was higher than record lows set in 2022, new listings have been lagging below 2022 levels. Is it just simply not enough homes? Maybe there's just a lack of agents digging up properties to sell. For example, the death of baby boomers is a source of inventory. Rising costs are prompting more adult children to sell homes they inherit from their parents. For today's interview, I want to welcome onto the show Black Knights' Conrad Ficca and Richard Lombardi to talk about climate risk and how lenders can mitigate its impact through data. Today's episode is all about climate risk, which, as we've seen with record heat waves around the U.S. and the globe this summer, and increased catastrophes that come with it in places like Hawaii, it's important for lenders and those involved in the mortgage space to consider. So I'm very happy to have Conrad Ficca and Richard Lombardi on today. I was hoping you guys could introduce yourself. Conrad, let's start with you, and then Richard, give listeners a little background on how you got to this point in your careers.
Perfect. Thanks, Robbie. So my name is Conrad Ficca. I've been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years now. I'm currently the vice president of loan data products at Black Knight. Our loan data products include our McDash product line, which is a loan level performance data that's being contributed directly from over 100 mortgage servicers on a monthly and daily cadence. It's really a one-stop shop for a full industry view of loan level mortgage collateral and performance details. The other product line under loan data products is EMBS, which is a business that includes both pool level and loan level agency disclosure data that we quickly release following daily and monthly agency disclosures with many useful enhancements that we put into that. And most industry participants that are managing MBS portfolios use this service. So thanks for having us, Robbie, and I look forward to the conversation today.
Awesome. Richard?
Great. Nice to meet you. My name is Richard Lombardi. I'm the Executive Vice President of Black Knight Data and Analytics. I run the Property Data Solutions team, which includes all of the data collection and monetization of public record property data and derived data within Black Knight. Been in the industry a long time, let's just say 30 plus years, and have a background in credit data as well as property data, and excited to be here today.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have both you. And in anticipation of today's conversation, I was checking out a related post on the Black Knight blog, and there were two things that jumped out to me. One, it said that in 2022 alone, 18 climate or weather-related events caused over $170 million in damage. And two, that according to MBA's Research Institute for Housing America, lenders and investors have a hard time gauging, let alone mitigating, climate-related risk. Richard, I want to start with you. This gauging and mitigating climate risk through data, that's sort of your whole world over there, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, our world is all about, providing data solutions to our clients in many different areas. This being one, climate data and hazard risk management. We have taken a different approach here at Black Knight. We really feel that incorporating that information into your day-to-day workflow is the right way to approach it. as opposed to maybe a whole separate workflow that you have to institute into your organization. So what we do is we look at the climate data and hazard risk in what we call a before, during, and after approach, right? So we want to look at before, meaning we take risk scores that we are scoring on properties on the 8 different sort of climate-related risks that you measure, and we're scoring each of those primary hazards individually for at the parcel level, and we think that's important, right? And then we score the property as a whole about its overall hazard risk and climate-related risk over periods of time. So we're looking at 20, 30, 40, 50 years to really understand what the risk profile of any parcel or property is on a go-forward basis. And that's sort of the before approach that we take, right? Let's understand what the potential risks are so we could take action before it happens. The during part of it is really as weather events and hazard events are occurring, we are monitoring those and extracting through artificial intelligence and machine learning and all sorts of things, information out to build a geofence around that impacted area. So we could then identify at the parcel level and the property level, what are the impacted properties? And Conrad's going to give you in a few minutes here a little more detail on an example of where we've done that, right, and why that's important. But we're able to track this across the weather events that occur. You mentioned there's 18 climate or weather-related events. Actually, there's probably more than that. Those are how many are showing up in whatever FEMA-related declarations were made. But we're looking even beyond FEMA-declared declarations. And then we're looking at the impact zone and what the impacted parcels and properties are at the parcel and property level. That's the during. We can then report on which storm or event has come through and what are the impacted properties in the impact zone and what are the properties in the buffer zone or surrounding that impact zone. Not at the county level or the state level, at the parcel level. And then our after is we have a number of different data sets and solutions that help evaluate after said trend, said event has occurred, where we could then monitor. We have property condition monitoring, roof condition and property condition monitoring, where we could look at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road. And from aerial photographs of that property, we could see if damage has been done, if repairs are underway, that kind of thing. We also monitor building permits that are pulled to see if there's been an increase in building permits and repairs needing to be done on property. We look at valuation trends and sales trends and payment activity to really get an assessment of after said event has occurred, what is the impact to you as a lender, as an investor, as a borrower, and so on and so forth.
Well, it's very timely that we're having this discussion because we're moving into the heart of hurricane season. And I can see how that level of insight could be incredibly valuable and on so many levels. So Conrad, let's turn to you. And if I'm remembering correctly, Black Knight did some research on the real world application of this disaster data last year, didn't you? It was around Hurricane Ian, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. We covered this during the September 2022 Mortgage Monitor presentation. And the Mortgage Monitor, for those that are not familiar with it, is a webinar that we host on a monthly basis. We then take that and subsequently publish analysis out to our, that's available out on our website. And if you're really in the housing or mortgage industries or any, sides to that, I'd highly recommend visiting blackknightinc.com, select the data reports at the top right hand of that page. And within the current report, you're able to actually sign up and attend those webinars moving forward. So I think that'd be really useful for a lot of folks on the call today or on the podcast today. For Hurricane Ian analysis, we actually use Black Knight's parcel level disaster alerts data that Richard was referencing. What we were able to do is showcase that 2.5 million homes with mortgages were in those FEMA declared counties. and a mere 14% were actually in the path of the storm. And another 4% or so were in the buffer zone, sort of just outside the direct path of the storm. And so this sort of showcases, you know, if you were actually just using FEMA's declared counties, you would have overestimated the impact by more than 2 million homes or 82%. Which is obviously a massive issue if you're trying to assess the impact of said storm. So next, what we did was we combined that parcel level disaster alerts with Black Knight's McDash Flash dataset. And McDash Flash is our loan level mortgage performance data that is updated on a daily basis with only a single business day of lag. We originally developed it actually, you know, moving it into production in the middle of April 2020 for purposes of tracking daily performance and intra-month forbearance volumes and, you know, loss mitigation actions, repayment plans, and deferrals during the COVID impact of the market. And it turns out that data is hugely valuable in getting kind of an early glimpse at, you know, payment activity during impacts from storms or other catastrophic events as well. That seemed to, like you mentioned, be occurring with far more frequency as of late. The advantage in having that daily data is our clients and we can quickly estimate the number of mortgages that haven't made a payment and therefore will become delinquent on their mortgage within a few weeks of that storm's impact, rather than waiting for delinquencies to, you know, peak a few months later when those impacts are already being felt. So what we found in this analysis specifically was mortgages in the impact zone of Hurricane Ian were 7 times more likely to become past due on their mortgage than mortgages, you know, still in those FEMA declared counties, but outside the path of the storm. So obviously, you know, it's a, you know, heavy driver to those delinquencies. We then forecasted and confirmed that around 25,000 new delinquencies were a direct result of Hurricane Ian hitting the Florida area. So being able to kind of predict the impacts at the parcel level and having that intra-month tracking of performance are obviously great tools to have in your toolbox when these events occur, you know, really, to say the least.
So Richard, turning back to you here, why is this kind of focus or the granularity of narrowing down to parcels rather than counties so important for our industry?
Mainly because when you get down to the property level, you could now begin to bring in all sorts of other data. As Conrad just exhibited for you, we took a look at payment streams and what the impact was payment streams. We could pull in our valuation tools, our AVMs, and look at, of the properties that were impacted, what's the total value of those properties, actually impacted properties, right? It allows you to look at other data sets, ancillary data sets that we can support for you, like building permit data. We did an analysis not that long ago looking at Hurricane Ian as well, and we pulled building permit activity before the Hurricane Ian and after the Hurricane Ian, and you could see the huge difference, right, in how many permits were pulled after and how long it took for those properties to get built back up and permits to be pulled and all that kind of activity. So really important information when you're assessing a portfolio or making decisions. Also, getting information at the property level allows you, if you're in the loan process, allows you to do whatever diligence you need on that property to make sure that that impact is not going to change the decision that you made before said activity. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why having it at the parcel level is important. When you're making decisions, when you're assessing risk, when you're truly trying to understand what's going on. Another benefit is you've now limited the ability of people you have to contact and accounts you have to work through and work out and you know, forbearance estimations and all this kind of stuff that happens post these events, right? So to Conrad's point before, there were a few million properties that were declared in a FEMA disaster area, but a small percentage of those were actually in the impact zone, and even a smaller percentage of those actually would require assistance or adjustments or whatever you'd have to do. So, you know, in reality, limiting the level of work that needs to be done to address the post transaction or post event situation is important to not strapping your resources and staying in focus. So there's a number of different reasons why that's important. And as you know, as post event activity begins to occur, knowing the parcels that are impacted directly just makes you much more efficient, effective, saves money, saves time, and saves you know, response time for those that need it.
I very much agree. And that's great to hear, especially in a world where several major insurance companies have already stopped writing policies in disaster prone, but extremely large and important markets like Florida and California.
Exactly. When it comes to industries that are expert at pricing in climate risk, I mean, you got to think insurance companies have really been at the forefront, you know, without a shadow of doubt. I'm sure everyone listening who owns a home with insurance on it has felt the premium run up over the past several years. And those in, you know, Florida and California and other disaster prone areas, even more so. You know, that is if you can even get an affordable coverage. So in some cases, you know, insurance companies are, you know, required to increase their rates so significantly that they're unable to even get their rates approved by the state insurance departments, and end up in a position really where they just simply can't write new business in those areas any longer. The Black Knight team plans to expand our mortgage servicing contributions to include more property insurance related data for our clients to better understand market impacts related to how it might be impacting home prices geographically, tracking claim volumes following these disaster events, the ratio of new insurance policies versus renewals, you know, coverage details of those policies, and types of policies, you know, flood, fire, earthquake, also tracking if it's been forced placed insurance and much more. One key area of focus we talk a lot about in the Mortgage Monitor is affordability, especially in today's market. And with the 30 conforming rate climbing to a 7.25% this week, you know, it now requires a monthly principal and interest payment of, you know, $2,423 to purchase a medium priced home for those using kind of a traditional 20% down 30-year fixed rate mortgage. And that's up $1,155 or 91% from just 2 years ago, prior to Fed really initiating their quantitative tightening measures. So it currently requires 38.3% of the median household income to make that monthly payment on an average priced home purchase, making housing, you know, the least affordable it's been really since 1984. So to put today's affordability levels in perspective, it would take some combination of up to a 27% decline in home prices, a more than 4 percentage point reduction in 30-year mortgage rates, or up to 60% growth in median household incomes to bring affordability back into its sort of 25-year average. 7 of 10 of the least affordable CBSAs are in both California and Florida. And in these areas are you know, some of the most often, you know, prone to, you know, climate risk events. So that said, all this analysis really kind of focused on principal and interest portions of the mortgage payment. And therefore, it's sort of exacerbated by increasing taxes due to increasing property values. And then also those same, you know, reasons for an increasing of insurance costs. Our new data will be able to track insurance run up over the last decade. You know, this data will be collected anonymously and without any borrower PII to even include an address, but will be available at the loan level. And therefore, you can get very granular when understanding these trends and be able to observe it, you know, really, really around the entire country. And I'll tell you what, our industry regulators are really paying attention, and so should everyone listening.
And Richard, what about your group? What are you working on that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, there's a number of great things that are going on. You know, as we continue to, you know, promote and drive client interest in our before, during, and after approach to climate risk management, you know, I will say data is our first step. So as we talked about, Black Knight does work with our clients to supply them with the data they need before, the data they need for during to manage, and the data they need for after to manage. We're also taking this information, as I started this conversation around, you know, really building it into your regular workflow. We're taking this information and data, and we're also building it into our valuation models, and we're building it into our mortgage risk models and different products within Black Knight to help enhance and increase the information and the efficiency of those already, you know, standard products used in the industry today. So there's a lot of work going on there by our teams to consider these risks and long-term effects within those products and tools. We also continue to add other complementary data sets as we go forward. We talked a little bit about the building permit data that we have that could tell you, you know, activity occurring on the property afterwards. You know, we supply flood reports, We supply occupancy indicators, vacancy data, anything that you might need to manage through this process. We're there to support our clients. And then we're also, real excited about, our new property data visualizer, which we hope to launch in 2024 here, which will really give you an aggregate view of that data that you've known and loved from Black Knight, looking at your fingertips, being able to pull aggregated trends and counts and reports and visualize at an aggregated level, what's going on in the markets and the industry and really hone in specifically on your county, your MSA, your census tract, and wherever you're trying to gather that information from. So a lot of great things going on to continue to grow and support this climate risk management efforts and beyond.
Thank you both very much for joining me, gentlemen. It's been very informative and eye-opening. Guild Mortgage further expanded its market share with the announcement this morning of the company's acquisition of First Centennial Mortgage, a privately held residential lender headquartered in Illinois. Founded by brothers Steve and David McCormick in 1995, First Centennial will bring 15 branches and 9 satellite offices to Guild's growing national retail network. This acquisition is Guild's third this year, following its purchase of Cherry Creek in April and Legacy Mortgage in February. Spoiler alert, our Federal Reserve doesn't set mortgage rates, but the hawkish tone from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on Friday was an indication that there won't be much slack in the battle to bring down inflation. If they are any indication, futures trading is pricing in roughly a 2/3 probability that the central bank will boost its key interest rate by a 0.25 percentage point in November after a pause in September. In an eagerly anticipated speech from Jackson Hole on Friday, Fed Chair Powell made no bones about the Fed's unwavering pursuit of returning annualized inflation to 2%. As far as the Fed is concerned, the message is stay the course, even if that means higher interest rates. Powell reiterated that the Fed would not change its long-term inflation target of 2%, as some market commentators may have hoped, and reaffirm the reliance on incoming economic data and the potential to further tighten monetary policy if the conditions warrant. His wholly expected remarks seem to have had a calming effect on markets. Other central bank chiefs echoed Powell in projecting a cautious stance, saying the inflation triggered by COVID-19 and its fallout has not been fully conquered. While recent data has been trending in the Fed's desired direction, Powell noted that the previous 2 months of data are not enough to instill confidence that inflation will continue to trend down towards the Fed's goal. There are still supply and demand imbalances that put upwards pressure on inflation, specifically as it pertains to shelter and non-housing services. Overall, goods prices have declined and residential lease rates are cooling. However, home prices remain high due to lack of supply. Given the desire not to repeat the mistakes of the 1970s and declaring victory over inflation too soon, it's not surprising the tone of the Fed continues to be one of caution, which may continue even as more positive data is released. The Federal Reserve is data dependent, of course, and this week is packed with potential market moving events, including front-loaded month-end supply, and economic data, including several labor market indicators, culminating with monthly U.S. employment numbers that will be released on Friday, and Fed favorite PCE on Thursday, which also happens to be month-end. Other economic data of interest include housing-related releases, consumer confidence, GDP, Chicago PMI, ISM, and construction spending. The start of the week is all about supply, with the Treasury auctioning $45 billion of 2-year notes and $46 billion of 5-year notes. Today also brings Dallas Fed Texas Manufacturing for August, and comments from Fed Vice Chair for Supervision Barr. We begin the week with agency MBS prices roughly unchanged from Friday's close, and the 10-year yielding 4.23 after closing Friday at 4.24%. The 2-year is at 5.10% after Fed Chair Powell's Friday comments drove the yield higher. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Why should you worry about the math teacher holding graph paper? She's definitely plotting something. Thanks again to this week's sponsor, Black Knight. Black Knight is an award-winning software, data, and analytics company that drives innovation in the mortgage and real estate industries in the capital and secondary markets. The company's data and analytics division provides comprehensive property and mortgage data, as well as market-leading analytics. To learn more, visit blackknightinc.com/climaterisk.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.